You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can you please speak on the issue of fuel poverty and its potential impact for Kiwis this winter?
Energy and electricity and gas and all of the fuels, even though most people would consider it a public good, they would consider it a socio-economic human right, like housing and food, it's only provided to households in New Zealand through capitalist private law mechanisms, which mean that you are at the whims of private companies as to how they provide it, how much they charge, how they bill, how they treat customers who cannot afford or are struggling to pay for electricity. And as a result of this public good being provided through these private law capitalist market processes, we have a huge issue with fuel poverty in the country. Just to highlight some statistics to you, 19% of Kiwi households are struggling to pay their electricity bill, so one in five households in the country, and that's before the current load of price increases that we've seen and before we get to the winter months where electricity obviously increases, the use of and cost of electricity increases. 110,000 households are defined as being in fuel poverty or fuel hardship, which is not just struggling to pay their bills, but unable to pay their bills without suffering substantial hardship. And 40,000 families were disconnected from electricity for failing to pay their bills. So we aren't talking about a small issue that only affects a handful of people. We are talking about quite a substantial issue that affects people across the country, and something that I fear will only get worse because of a combination of three factors that we're seeing. This cost of living crisis, where the cost of living is increasing significantly faster than increases to government benefits or minimum wage or average wages. The fact that energy companies have recently done a round of price increases, and we've seen some companies increase it by 12%, another by 8.6%. So again, quite significant price increases. And thirdly, the fact that during winter, households often pay more because of the use of increased electricity. So these three factors are going to mean that the number of people in hardship and the number of people unable to pay their bills is just going to increase, I think, quite dramatically. So it's something that we really need the political parties to focus on, and we really need some dedicated action on this issue and on ensuring that those who are most vulnerable and most struggling get some sort of support above the very minor kind of payments that the most vulnerable people are getting at the moment.
What role do government policies and initiatives play in addressing the broader issue of energy affordability and accessibility for low-income households?
Well, I think they have an obligation not just to low-income households. I think they have an obligation to all households across the country to ensure that everyone can have access to affordable, safe, reliable energy. And I think that the big chill that we experienced about 10 days ago is an indication of just how vulnerable the households are across the country to having a lack of access to electricity. But I think in terms of the financial cost and in terms of fuel poverty or fuel hardship, that is something that is obviously disproportionately impacted by the lower income groups. And if we believe, which we should believe, 97% of people think that having access to energy to heat homes is a fundamental human right. So if we believe that as a society, then the government can't say it's not our problem. They can't wash their hands of it and give it to the private companies and say, you supply the electricity and we won't have anything to do with it. But it does seem like largely that's what they've done. If you go to the website on WINS and it says, I'm struggling to pay my bills, the first thing they say is talk to your electricity company about this. So it's not we will provide support, this is an obligation on us. They've done this kind of about turn and said, even though this is something that people would describe as a public good, a fundamental right, the government have said it's provided by private law mechanisms and therefore any solution should be a private law mechanism. But these companies are set up with the kind of focus and aim of maximising profit. And that's what companies do in the structure that we've created in society. So it's very hard for us to point the finger at them and say, well, you need to be providing more support and assistance to people struggling because they don't see it's their duty. And so the government's washed their hands on one side. The private companies are saying that's not our role or our obligation on the other side. And in the moment, all of these vulnerable low-income households are falling between the cracks.
Do you have any more comments on this pressing issue?
I just think it's something that we should be aware of and we should maintain a level of pressure on the government to address this. And we should try and do it now before the situation gets worse. Because by the time we're in the middle of winter and we see these increased numbers of disconnections, it's possibly too late. So now is a really good time. We've been given a warning sign. The big chill has highlighted to us how vulnerable we are, and it's a call to arms. And I think that the young generation, the students, are really the ones that have the energy to push these reforms through. So I encourage your listeners to think of this as a really important issue. Even if it doesn't affect them, it does affect those most vulnerable. And, you know, the students are the ones that have the power to keep that pressure on and hopefully make some positive change.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.